Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 64 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. And today we're going to be talking about something that I think is like one of those burning questions. How do you keep your house clean?
Yeah, like literally how?
Yeah. What if the answer is we don't?
Then we're done.
Don't. No, my house is usually reasonably clean. So I think this is something that I was terrible at as a new mom, like atrociously bad at, and have actually developed some workarounds and ways to keep myself on track over these many years. And so, yeah, this will be a fun one.
Yeah. And just to clarify, we're really talking about the nitty gritty of cleaning this episode. We've done an episode or two that are more organization or tidying or, you know, how to keep track of all the kids' toys and that kind of stuff. And this is definitely hands and knees scrubbing your floors type of conversation today. Yeah. We're going there.
We're going there.
So yeah, I thought it would be fun to kind of go room by room. And I don't know, it's a fun peek into how somebody manages their home. And maybe we can offer some tips, some strategies, any products that we happen to use and love. And then I wanted to mention later in the episode, kind of in the second half of the episode, we are going to address when and how to hire help cleaning your house, if that's something that you want to do. And you and I have both had times where we've had no help cleaning our house and other times where we've had help. So that's a big thing that I think sometimes moms are hesitant to talk about. We'll get into all that. But first, we're just going to start with the cleany stuff.
Here we go.
All right.
Let's put a shine on this topic, shall we?
I want to talk about cleaning floors first.
Perfect.
And I want to tell you what my floors look like right now because I'm looking at them. I'm sitting in our kitchen nook and we made homemade pizza yesterday. So there's like a fine flour dust all over my kitchen floors. But floors have been a real struggle for me, especially in the last 2 years that we've lived in this house, which has very nice floors, nice wood, but they're very dark, like espresso colored wood floors, and they don't have a lot of variation in the wood grain, which means you see anything light colored, like just pops. And I guess like floors are one thing where I feel like I never do them enough. And when I do them, they're only clean for a hot second, which I know that's the season of life, but I don't know. So I'm going to throw that over to you. What's your floor situation right now and how do you clean them?
So we have mostly this really nice hardwood on our first floor. Our kitchen is very 90s and it's ceramic tile. And I think it was one of those ceramic tile patterns that they thought would, you know, hide dirt. Mm-hmm. But the problem is it just always looks dirty no matter what we do. I do have like a steamer mop that I use sometimes and I can't even
remember. So how often would you use that?
Not very often because it doesn't make any difference. I can't see any difference. I'll only use it if there's like a sticky mess.
Right.
But even just to lug it out, I found sometimes it's better just to like throw a damp paper towel on it, on the sticky mess for a while and let it soak in and then go down and give it a quick scrub. It's not a very big kitchen and we make very liberal use of our hose attachment on our vacuum.
Okay.
John even sometimes vacuums like the kitchen or the refrigerator shelves.
Oh, that's
like we use it on almost everything. Yeah. Sometimes you can vacuum, like if you have a cereal mess on the counter, you can sometimes just vacuum it up and then give it a quick wipe down with, you know, like a paper towel, like a, some cleaner.
Right.
So that's another thing. We use the vacuum a ton.
Yeah.
Our wood floors are not, I know exactly the kind you're talking about. We had those in one house and it was real bare. We just
they look beautiful when they're clean. I will say.
I know.
Once in a long while, they look great.
We have a really glossy oak and they're nice. They don't show too much and they're luckily in areas of the house that we don't like really, I mean the dining room, but you know, our kids are past the age where they're throwing food around. So the spills and stuff usually happen on the tile. But the biggest thing for us is dog hair. And I have to say this summer in particular, Moxie has been shedding like crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's never been this bad. I don't know if it's because it's been really hot or what. So I feel like there's always dog hair floating around. And we've got that vacuum out with the hose attachment either daily or every other day. Now, I don't do it anymore because now I've got kids old enough to do it. But I have to still make the mental note to get it out. And, you know, make sure the attachment's on it and make sure it's plugged in the right spot where you can get everywhere. And
now, just because I want to get specific with stuff, is yours easy? So I have a Dyson vacuum that I've had for a few years. They're very nice vacuums. I always felt like the hose attachment, it worked, but it was very awkward to like lug the vacuum around and then stretch the hose long enough. So I got a Dustbuster, like, I don't know, less than 2 years ago since we've lived here. And I can't believe I didn't have a Dustbuster before. Mm. Like with, so I, all the ways you're describing using that hose attachment, I use my Dustbuster. Now I'm sure it doesn't have the same power for sure. And it has to charge and stuff. But I'm yeah. just wondering if your vacuum maybe is easier to, I always felt like it was so awkward.
I have a lower vacuum around. Well, our vacuum is in the dining room. We keep it like tucked between okay. the wall and the okay. Secretary in there.
Okay.
So that makes it easy. And there's like a plug right there. Right. And then you pretty much when you're in that room, you can stretch almost anywhere on the first floor, which is you know, so I always plug it in that room.
I needed a longer hose attachment or something.
Well, I don't mean like the hose attachment can't stretch that far. I mean the cord.
But the vacuum.
The cord can. Yeah. Got like it. If you have it plugged in, you can take it into any of those other rooms. I mean, I think vacuums in general are really awkward. It's one of my least favorite tools. Uh-huh. We do have a Dyson. I think it's like a lower end Dyson. It's not one of the really nicer ones, but even upgrading from whatever piece of crap we had before to this Dyson made a big difference. And, it is a little awkward. Ours, like it pulls out. So like the handle pulls out and that's the hose.
Okay.
Which feels a little more intuitive than some of the other kinds, mm-hmm. you know, and you don't have to worry about making sure it's like, you know, some, you have to switch between the hose and the,
right. yes.
you have to like a switch or something to make sure that the hose is actually sucking. This one just does it. I don't know. Not that much of a problem. Hasn't been a problem. Right. I feel like for us, the Dustbuster wouldn't work because I would be crawling around to hit all the corners and it would fill up with dog hair really fast.
Right.
And then I'd have to start over and keeping it plugged in. I'm trying to picture my own personality. I'm not sure that would work for me.
Yeah. No, I definitely, you know? I guess, do the smaller jobs with the Dustbuster. It's funny you mentioned dog hair because I can't remember if I've said it on the show, but our dog passed away about a month ago. Maybe a little more, a couple months ago, we had to put her to sleep. So this is the first time in over 10 years that I have not had dog hair.
Yeah.
She was not a crazy shedder. In fact, I have not noticed a huge difference. I guess we're messy enough with floors that the necessity of cleaning regularly and vacuuming and that kind of stuff hasn't changed that much. But one thing that reminded me of is that we did get a robot vacuum Christmas time. I mentioned it on a show right after Christmas and it's called the Neato. It's a good competitor to the Roomba. I always hear good things about Roomba too. I think Brian picked the Neato because it's supposed to be especially good with pet hair and also goes around corners really well. So I do run that. It's very good in our kitchen, just getting the little crumbs and stuff.
Yeah.
I do find that I want to do a quick sweep of corners and just little things mm-hmm. if I want to feel like it's really clean after. My problem again is picking up, you know, toys and shoes and things
getting that
in order to run the Neato. And also I like to kind of be out of the house or at least be in another part of the house because it's loud and it takes, you know, probably takes an hour to do the downstairs. But again, that's an hour that I'm not vacuuming. So it's great. I still recommend it, but I have found it logistically interesting to prep my house to run the robot.
You know, I will
I'm curious how other people are doing that.
I will say that we don't have a robot, although now I'm really, everybody I know is getting them. So I may be next on the list. I may be just keeping up with the Mrs. Joneses.
Yes.
there's in our family, the youngest kid has always had the job of picking up toys and shoes before we vacuum, which does necessitate you to wait till everyone's home or to make them do it on their way out of the house in the morning or whatever before they're leaving someplace. So Clara's job since she was, I don't know, maybe 3 years old has been lining up all the shoes or putting them in the shoe basket and picking up toys we don't really have that many carpeted rooms. So the ones that we need to vacuum, that's the ones where she would do that.
Right.
And I've already talked about my strategy that I got from my sister of sweeping.
Yeah, and throwing
literally
away.
Sweeping up toys and socks and being like, do I even need this
sock
has a hole in it or whatever, and throwing things away. So I'm pretty ruthless with that as well. There's this cool thing, and I don't know if it's still in the market. It just popped into my head that when my kids were littler and they used a lot of toys that had small pieces, it was like this toy scooper that you'd use instead of a dustbin or a dustpan because dustpans never have they're never flush enough with the floor.
Right.
To get a Lego in very easily.
Oh, yeah.
So they made this thing. It was called the toy scooper. And you could just use it to sweep up toys with. It was basically a big dustbin or dustpan.
Right, and also then it
totally flat.
And it would stay cleaner probably if you weren't sweeping gross garbage.
Other crap stuff. Yeah. And it would just it had the edge. I don't know. It just somehow managed to be a perfect little slide, a little ramp. that would pick up the toys. So we'll have to see if that still exists.
Yeah, I will make a note
link to it if it does. That was really fun for a while when that was part of my life, and it's not as much anymore. But, and you know, another thing that I've really been thinking about getting is those carpet sweepers they have at restaurants. Because when I worked in restaurants, I did a lot of food service in my day. And
oh, I know what you're talking about. They don't, a minute.
Yeah, they're just, they're not electronic. They don't plug in, but they do a really good job.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're like, they just, you know, you just go, and you just, especially if you have like a low, a small pile carpet or whatever you call low pile carpet or indoor outdoor carpet or for kitchen messes.
Right.
They're really
right.
effective.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Well, I do actually like to vacuum my wood floors and then mop if I'm really, which is probably why I don't do floors enough, because if I do them, I really like to do them right. And I probably should err more on just doing a halfway job more often.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, they look best when they, so I'll just mention mops because I know we're not going to talk about floors for the entire episode, but I know you have a mop you like, and I've always just, I'm kind of like simple and cheap. I've always used the Swiffer sweeper, not the Wet Jet, which has its own like system. This is just the regular Swiffer, only you can buy wet. They're like wet wipes, basically, that you fold over. And I feel like it's so lightweight. The kids can help do it, and they like to help do it. And because I'm usually spot cleaning really sticky, bad spills, or I'm vacuuming or sweeping first. So the mop is mostly just for it to look nice and kind of, you know, shine it up. And so that's all I've used for my whole housekeeping life. So I've never really gotten super fancy with mops.
So I had a Swiffer for a while, and I don't remember if it was just I kept forgetting to replace the sweeper parts or what. Right. I just couldn't get in a rhythm of using it. And I at some point switched to Libman mops. Okay. And I love those because all of the pieces are reusable. Mm-hmm. And you can interchange, like, so one of them is just really simple. It's like a dust mop, and it's got one end that's a microfiber thing. But then you can also buy other, you know, other kinds of heads to go on it for different jobs, like ones that have, like, more grippy power or whatever. Okay. And they're really, really simple. And so, like, if I'm just doing a quick dust mop, I might just use it with a spray of Pledge or whatever. Right. If I'm doing it to actually clean the floor, I might use some cleaner. But those are – that's one of my go-tos. And I just feel like it doesn't take up much space. It's lightweight. It's kind of like a Swiffer. It's just all reusable and
simple. In listening to you talk, that one of the things I was always intimidated by with mopping was the product. So maybe we can talk a little bit, like, in other words, the solution. That's why the Swiffer works for me, because it's already in the wet wipes.
Right.
I don't actually have to fill a bucket or a sink with anything, because that always intimidated me. I don't know why. So do you have, so you mentioned Pledge, or you would use a cleaning solution to actually like dip it in and clean the floor?
You know, I don't necessarily think a typical, like, I'm just doing a quick mop requires a bucket.
Right. I don't either.
I think you can just spray some stuff on the floor.
Okay.
You know, if it's a sticky mess, like I said, I'll sometimes just throw a wet rag on it or a paper towel just to kind of get it picked, you know, to get it kind of softened up so you can get it more easily.
Yep.
And if it's really one of those, but mops, see, the thing is, if it's one of those where like it's dirty and it really needs to get cleaned, my kitchen floor isn't huge. I would really rather just put some soapy water in the sink and use a rag and get down on my hands and knees. It's to me, it's so much easier.
And it's like, so much more satisfying.
Yeah, it is. Really, and I feel like mops just get really gross.
Yeah,
it doesn't even really matter what kind of mop, if it's a, you know, a janitor's mop or like one of those foamy ones. I just feel like no matter what, they get gross. And I think you can control it a little better, and it's a lot less awkward if you just do it. I know it sucks, and you know, you might have to wear knee pads or whatever. But I've also done the thing where I put rags on my feet and skate around the room. Yep. I mean, I'll get really creative to avoid having to work very hard at it. But I just don't think it's something that needs to be, unless you're, you know, your kids are maybe crawling on the floor and picking stuff up and putting it in their mouths. I don't necessarily think your floors need to be that sterile all the time. And, you know, and I will say the one time I had white tile in the kitchen, that was rough because it looked terrible all the time.
All
because,
the time.
Yeah. Like the grout always looked bad and the tile always looked dirty.
We had that in our first house too. Yeah.
I was a little more anal about it then. And I did have a baby at the time too. So.
Yeah. But that it is. It's not very fun to have floors like that because they never look good no matter what you do. They just either look dingy or worse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I used to have like all different, like I'd have a mop for, you know, mop, like a dust mop, like a, you know, dedicated dust mop. And I'd have a mop for this room and a mop for that room. And I just really simplified, which is why I like the Libman. They're the ones with the green handles. So you can see them. They have them everywhere.
Yeah. We'll link to that too in the show notes. Well, that was a big discussion about floors.
It's a big topic.
Our whole house. Your whole.
You know, we didn't talk anything about bathroom floors.
Okay.
But this, for me, it's the same strategy.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
And in fact, in the bathroom, I'm way more likely just to like go spray around the corner or around the edges and get down on my hands and knees and.
Yep. And
the toilet.
We have a couple of bathrooms that have weird shaped. Like the floor, that's a weird shaped room. It's not just a square or a rectangle. And that's another place where I would take either a vacuum hose or a dustbuster and just get the little tiny pieces of toilet paper or, you know, dust or dog hair around the edges of the molding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, floorboards. Exactly. Yeah.
And then just wipe. Yeah.
And let's be honest. I mean, well, you probably don't have this problem so much yet. Although I guess you do. I mean, you've got a boy who pees in the toilet. The backs behind my toilet is absolutely disgusting. At all times. Like, and I've forbidden the kids from using my bathroom. Our bathroom is the nicer one on the main floor. The other bathroom on the main floor is like itty bitty and really hard to get into even. I won't let the kids in my bathroom. They're so gross. So that's another thing. Like there is constantly like urine everywhere. I don't even know how they get it in some of the places where it is. It's like on the wall behind the toilet. And I'll think to myself.
You have to try really hard.
I've seen them actually, and they're not recently, but when they were younger, trying to pee at the same time. And then the streams bounce off of each other. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? It doesn't work that way. So if you have boys, we all know that's a totally different ball of wax. It requires a lot of upkeep.
And a lot of keeping that bathroom door closed.
Yeah, exactly.
Potential guests.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so we're going to go through a few more rooms. But this is a good time to just bring up the question that I know a lot of people have, which is, have you ever been – I think I know the answer. But have you ever had yourself on – any kind of a routine where you knew that you were going to, especially the big jobs like floors or dusting, on a sort of regular schedule? Or do you just wait till you have the time and the floors are dirty and it's time to mop?
So I tried to do Fly Lady. I don't know if you're familiar with Fly Lady.
I don't think I am.
It's still around. I can't believe it. This was huge when my kids were little and I was a slob. And I'm not even a particularly messy person, but we had too much stuff. We had too many toys at the time, like a lot. And we lived in small spaces. It just didn't accommodate at all. And I was really easily overwhelmed. I couldn't figure out what to work on. So I needed, you know, so this Fly Lady thing was at the time, and it maybe has evolved. I don't know. But it was just email. So you'd sign up for this automated email thing. And then it would like 8 o'clock in the morning, you get a thing that'd be like, you know, put on your shoes and scrub your sink. So she had this thing like you always had to have your shoes on in your house for some reason. I think it was because it made you feel like you were – it was mostly for stay-at-home moms and people who were at home. So I think it like was supposed to make you feel like you were going someplace or you had a purpose. And she was super anal about like shining your sinks and making sure – so I would get so mad when I'd get the email because she's always telling me to put my shoes on. I was like, I don't want to. Then – I don't want to put my shoes on. So I finally had to delete it. So that did not work out for me. However, a lot of people really enjoyed the structure.
Okay.
Because like then every hour you'd get a new email and it'd be like, do a 15-minute fling. And that would mean like – or 15 piece of something boogie. I don't remember now. But you'd go in your closet and like pick out 15 things you wanted to get rid of and do that. So they would like just remind you all day long. Mm-hmm. And I got really into it for about 3 days. And then I wanted to kill her. So I unsubscribed. I think that was maybe the only time I was on a real – like a real routine like that. Although I've definitely had like today is a laundry day. I've done stuff like that before. But I also find that, you know, dusting in my house is something that happens sort of semi-monthly.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not going to dust every Tuesday. It's not that important to me necessarily. Right. I have done big cleans in the spring and fall where I get a lot of that stuff. But no, I guess thinking back, I don't think I've been that structured about it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And I go in big swings of feeling super nesty and domestic. We've talked about that on this show. And it's sort of seasonal for me. Not just, I mean, I don't really have weather seasons where I live, but it's still seasonal. It might be pre-holidays or post-holidays or back to school where I just feel really like I want to make my nest a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I'm cleaning more regularly and I'm kind of doing upkeep projects. And then I go into maintenance mode. So I don't think it would work for me. But floors, since we were talking about floors for so long, that is one area where I do kind of feel like I would benefit from just declaring
right,
a floor
a day.
I could
see that. One thing I will say that I've gotten really good at over the years is the things that are important to me, I keep on them like daily. So my bathroom is important to me. And it doesn't mean I'm cleaning my bathroom top to bottom every day. It means I'm, you know, spraying my sink and hitting it with toilet paper and throw the toilet paper away. It takes like 30 seconds and I'm in the bathroom anyway. So stuff like that I've gotten really good at. And floors, I've gotten pretty good with quick maintenance, like a sweeping, wiping, you know, grabbing spot cleaning spots on the floor that aren't great. I have not gotten really good at doing the full thing. I do have a cleaning help right now. And so I know she's going to do it every other week anyway.
Right.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But that does kind of take the pressure off a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's what I need to get better at is the quick, just doing more quick sweeps. Because when I look at it and think, oh, I should just really do the whole thing. And then I don't.
Can we talk about brooms for a second?
Let's talk about brooms.
I actually really enjoy sweeping. To me, that's a very kind of meditative task. I feel a little bit like Ma Ingalls when I'm doing it. But I have a problem where my brooms get so gross. And I feel like they get gross faster than they should. And then I can't – there's no way to really clean them effectively. Do you just, you know, replace your broom every couple of months? I don't know what to do about it, but I feel like it's making my floor grosser sometimes.
That's interesting. So one way I have cleaned a broom, which this is just what I've done, is take like a Clorox wet wipe, not like a wet wipe, the wet wipe you use on your kid, like an actual disinfectant like Clorox or Lysol, and just flip it upside down and kind of pull, like ours would just get a lot of hair. And pull the hair.
I just feel like no matter how hard I pull, like some of it's just embedded forever. And maybe it's a style. Maybe I need a better broom.
Maybe. I like old school brooms, like the regular hardware
straw
store.
Ones?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
Yeah. We also have a big, like, more, like, outdoor broom, like the big flat kind. But
I don't know. If any listeners have broom suggestions or, like, have found the broom that has changed your life, please do let me know.
Yeah. That would be very interesting.
Put it in the comments.
Also, we have a little, you can get these at a lot of different places, but you don't have to buy, like, a toy broom. You can actually buy, like, a little handheld broom that looks just like.
These the one that come, like, attached to the.
Well, a little bigger than the ones that have come attached to the dustpan. But ours is a straw broom, just like the big one. And all three kids as toddlers really thought they were sweeping because it looks so similar. And it's just a handheld, like what you'd use to sweep it into the dustpan, only a little bigger. So I'll have to
post a picture.
But we didn't get it. It's not a toy. It's an actual, and all three kids love doing that. So if you have little ones, they love to help sweep too.
Cool.
Let's move up surfaces in the kitchen a little bit, and maybe just briefly. I have one sink trick, and then I know you've probably talked about clean counters before, and I think we both like Mrs. Meyer's products.
Yes,
we can mention
that.
Mm-hmm. But my sink trick, real quick, that is probably like on every Pinterest board, but I'm not on Pinterest, is that when you use a lemon for cooking or garnish or drinks or whatever, that you can put lemon peel down garbage disposals, unless your garbage disposal is really, you know, sensitive or something, and then you'd know that. But so I will smoosh a lemon peel all around my sink, and and then put the whole thing down the garbage disposal and run it with hot water, and it makes your sink like it just takes away the stinky smell in the garbage disposal and the whole sink just smells better.
Delicious. And, so I used to do that, and then John got really mad at me and said I was ruining our garbage disposals.
Well, I always wonder about
I know.
That,
maybe we should have a plumber, like, you know, if you're a plumber or know a plumber really well, maybe you could weigh in as well, because I thought that, I mean, everybody, like, my mom did that. I just remember that being a thing. And then he's like, you can't do that. You're going to ruin the garbage disposal. So I don't know if that's true or not. I think he may be just being a little extra cautious.
Yeah. And some garbage disposals, ours is sensitive, but not to the lemon. It will happily chop up a lemon. It's more sensitive to like fibrous things, like a bunch of cucumber peel or zucchini.
Well, that's their job, right? I mean, that's what it's there for. That's what I think. But I will say though, when he started yelling at me about that, what I actually do now instead is I make a little volcano in my garbage disposal with some vinegar and baking soda. And that's actually fun because it bubbles up and it's like a little science. I feel like a kid when I do that. It's like a little science experiment. And it works. It doesn't give you that awesome lemon scent. Okay. And you can always squirt, you know, lemon juice in there if you want that. Right. But it does – it's fun. And it does actually deodorize it pretty well.
Yeah.
And you have to run – like you got to run the hot water when you do – if you use vinegar. Mm-hmm. Run it for a couple of – like a minute or two to really to flush it out.
Right.
Otherwise, stuff kind of stays stuck in there.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
How about counters? Do you have a favorite counter top –
I like all the Mrs. Meyer's Clean Day stuff.
Okay.
And sometimes it's cheap. If they sometimes discontinue scents and you can find them at TJ Maxx.
Oh, nice.
So I've done that. You can actually find some, like, I also love the Caldrea stuff.
Okay.
And they have great smells, and you could sometimes find that at TJ Maxx too. Some of the smells are weird, like radish. I had one. Oh. It didn't smell like radishes, but I was like, no wonder no one bought this. I mean, come on. So,
well, one of the Mrs. Meyers that, and I don't know if you get this too, but is the concentrate where you can make your own. And I always feel like that's a little more cost effective because for a countertop spray, I'm usually kind of, it's mostly for the scent and to, you know, add a little moisture to a washcloth. So, I feel like you can, it's, you dilute it more for like a countertop spray than you would if you were cleaning a sink or a bathroom. Nice.
Yeah, because you really just need the moisture.
I'll link to that one, but it feels like it lasts me a long time. That's possibly because I don't clean enough. But
yeah, and I'll just kind of go around and spray everything down and leave the room for a few minutes so that, again, if there's like a little gunky piece of jelly or something, it kind of sucks up. And I find that if you're on your counters, they just don't get that messy. That, you know, if you're like on them every day and like it takes a couple minutes just to wipe them down, it's just easier to keep up with it, just like, or several times a day. And I use a sponge with the scrubby side, and then I just throw the sponge in the dishwasher.
Okay. So that's a good, okay. Cause I do have a little germophobia about sponges. I'm not overly like to sanitation, but sponges, like you were saying, brooms gross you out. Sponges gross me out. So I'm always a little, I never know like what I can use a sponge for and then do anything with it in the future.
Yeah. I run on the sanitizer
toilet and then put it back in the sink. I get it. But
right.
So you put yours in the dishwasher. I've also heard microwave. Have you ever done that?
I've also heard that. I don't just because, I don't know, I'm right next to the dishwasher, so why not?
Okay.
So it's just part of my routine, you know?
And then now this is really detailed. What implement do you use when you have to hand wash dishes? Are you a sponge person? Are you a...
Kind of depends on the job. I have one of those handled brushes that I really like a lot.
Okay.
And then what I do when I'm at the end of that is so after I drain the sink, I use something called Barkeeper's Friend, which a cleaning person actually turned me on to. It's just like grit. It's like a little, it almost looks like baking powder, baking soda.
Okay,
I don't really know what it's made of, but it makes, if you have a stainless steel sink, it makes it super shiny. So after I'm done scrubbing the dishes with the handle thing, which I like, cause you don't have to get your hands all in the gross water as much. I mean, you still touch it, but it's not as bad. And then I use that scrub to like scrub down the bottom of the sink, rinse it out, and then I throw the scrubber in the dishwasher too.
Okay. I like that. We'll have to link to that Barkeeper's Friend.
Yeah. And you can find it anywhere. It's like in a little silvery container. It's usually at the bottom. I feel like it's always on the bottom.
Yeah. I can picture that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I like a handheld sponge that I can actually like get in there with my hand. So I'm the opposite. I feel like sometimes the implements that you hold a handle, I just don't have as much control over.
Well, and they don't work for things like wine glasses, which I put my wine glasses in the dishwasher because I don't really care if I break them.
I do too,
not
usually,
really
unless
ones.
I'm hand washing a bunch.
But
of
if it's
stuff.
Something like special, I need to use something something I'm afraid might break. I always use a sponge or a washcloth, even, and then just throw it in the wash.
And then I love a good steel wool. You can't use steel wool on everything, obviously,
no,
and
but
shouldn't
great.
Use it on some things. But on stainless pots and pans and just that feeling of just like really scrubbing the heck out of something. So I always have a little thing of steel wool too. So, all right. Well, let's talk about bedrooms and living areas briefly, I think.
Did we talk about bathrooms already?
We kind of touched on it. Am I avoiding talking about cleaning bathrooms?
I feel like you're I feel like you skipped over that. It's clearly on the outline, Sarah.
Okay,
that we're supposed to talk about bathrooms now.
Let's talk about bathrooms. My only thing I have to offer, I agree with you on bathrooms. Clean them often. One of my tips is to keep small cleaning supplies in the bathroom.
Yeah,
things that you can use all the time, whether it's I've clipped Clorox wipes or a spray or something where you can do a quick job. And then sometimes I neglect doing Windex on the mirrors and I forget what a difference that makes.
It's huge.
The mirrors aren't, it's not like you can't see. They're functional.
Right.
And they may not even look that spotty, but it's a fun job to give a kid. And especially if you're having guests over or something, it makes a huge difference.
It makes a huge difference. And let me also say, I hate the smell of Windex. I don't like anything ammonia-y. I mean, I have it. I know it works, blah, blah, blah. Vinegar and water also works for windows pretty well. But if I'm in a pinch and I'm standing in my bathroom and there's company coming and there's like, you know, spots or like toothpaste splatters on the mirror, I will use just a regular spray cleaner sparingly. And then if you really go to town with a circular rubbing motion, it usually doesn't leave streaks, I have found.
Yeah.
As long as it's not something like it's got bleach in it.
Right.
But if it's just like a typical, you know, kind of all-purpose cleaner and you use it sparingly and then just really go to town to get the rubs out, it's fine. So don't feel like you have to have like eight different products in your bathroom. I always just keep a roll of paper towels, some washcloths or rags, and a spray of all-purpose cleaner in the bathroom and then mm-hmm. toilet cleaner. Those yeah, are the two things I always have.
And then you can tell a kid to go clean the bathroom too, relatively yeah. easy. What about tubs and showers, which is pretty much when we get to hiring support in cleaning your house, like pretty much the sole reason I like to have professional help.
I don't love doing showers. And
I just never feel like I knew how. I don't.
Well, the problem is it totally depends on the kind of shower you have, the kind of door or curtain, the mm-hmm. age of the tub, like, you know,
and older, how hard or soft your water is.
How hard or soft your water is, full, like the like caulk, or, like is the caulk yeah. peeling up and kind of old yeah. and gross, or is it brand yeah. new? I just, every single house I've lived in, I've had a completely different experience cleaning the bathroom. I guess I'll just say again, keep up on it. If you're in the shower anyway, and you can use like one of those little squeegees, if you have a glass yeah. door, you can use a squeegee on it. If you have a, if you keep some soft scrub in the bathroom or even just a rag and wipe it down so it's not soaking wet all the time, mm-hmm. it just stays a little cleaner. I mean, yeah, I don't have any like super special tips for the tub and shower and forch.
Equalizer. Like, I don't think anyone loves it.
You got to like get in and you got to take your shoes off and like get into the bathtub, which is always a pain. I just kind of like to multitask that one and do it when I'm already naked half the time.
Yeah.
Like, well, just and do it when I get out.
Little kids who are sitting in a tub a lot, that's actually a good, I mean, for a lot of our listeners with little kids, that's a tub that most people are cleaning more often, and sometimes there's accidents in the tub. Sometimes you've got toys in there. So I guess in those days, bath toys I would throw away quite often. As soon as you see the ones that let water in and you can start to see the mold on the inside, just chuck it. We were also a huge fan of just bath toys that was just Tupperware and spoons and stuff from the kitchen and just rotated it on through. But I think I would just get really, really hot water and what some kind of a cleaner, you know, and just every however
scrubbing
often.
Bubbles or soft scrub have always been some of my favorites.
Yeah, and just really, and then run the bath toys either through the dishwasher or chuck them.
So for us, the bathtub was always like the last station for toys I was going to throw away.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
It was like, these guys are on their last legs. Or they're going in the trash, but let's just totally blow them out in the bathtub first and use them for a couple of weeks and then throw them away.
Right.
So that, I don't know. That's something smart. I did.
I mean, I've had at times where kids didn't want to get in the bath and I'd say, well, pick a toy from down here as long as it's not like hollow, going to get, you know, as long as it's not totally.
Right.
We can't have batteries or something, but otherwise. And so toys would sort of migrate their way to the tub and then live there for a while and go to die.
And while they're in the tub, I've always found it's a good opportunity to just put a little, all-purpose cleaner like on a rag and get that edge between the if you have like a glass shower door, that edge always gets gross between the tub and the edge around the inside. It's kind of hard to do like tile grout, which is again why this is like such an academic question, because there's 8 million ways to do it. In general, in a bathroom, one thing that, especially if I'm doing like everyday quickie cleaning, I always work from top to bottom, because then you can usually use the same rag. So start out with your sink, you know, maybe move to the toilet lid behind and all that, and then that one gets thrown away, and then floors have a separate one usually, because by the time you get to the toilet, that one's done.
Smart. And I'm thinking too, the moms of little teeny kids sitting in the tub is not a bad time just to do any of the little bathroom cleaning jobs.
Exactly.
Smart. I don't think I ever thought of that. All right, well, should we move on to bedrooms? I don't know. I just have one thing to say, which is I always leave the master bedroom for last, and yet every time I pick up and properly clean the master bedroom, master bath, it feels so good. There's like something, like there's some psychology there too, like putting your own space last. So it's a good reminder that, you know, if the kitchen can wait a day and it boosts your mood to have, you know, clean countertops in your master bathroom or whatever, no dust bunnies in the corner, whatever it is in your bedroom, I think it's a very nice, like the psychology of making your bed every day, only a little, taking it a step further. So,
and I have so in our bedroom, I mean, like the vacuuming gets done fairly often, because whenever our bedroom is on the first floor, so it's right off of the main rooms that we would be vacuuming anyway. So I always just make sure I hit my bedroom when we do that. But what the one thing that in our bedroom gets, like, you know, the clutter kind of starts to gather by the bedside on the bedside yep. table, like yep. for in my case, a lot of LaCroix cans, and like the my bureau gets
yep.
gross because I keep my makeup there, so it starts to get makeupy. So when I'm on the phone, I'm always locking myself in my bedroom when I'm on the phone because this is the one room I can sit in and the kids won't bug me.
Who are you talking on the phone to? I didn't think you liked talking.
I hate it, but every now and then it's necessary. Okay. And I'm a pacer. When I'm on the phone, I pace. So what I'll do is I'll have my phone in my pocket with my earbuds in, like my headset in, and then I'll just walk around and clean surfaces. And honestly, that's like one of my biggest cleaning tricks. By the time you get off the phone, you look behind you and there's like this clean, this sweep of clean. You're like, how did that even happen? So you can also do that while listening to podcasts, by the way. That's another
good and way I know we've had so many listeners tell us that we help them scrub floors and clean toilets and fold laundry. So we are happy to help you clean your house.
Listen. And honestly, sometimes I'll just grab whatever's available. I've done it with makeup wipes. Like I've taken a makeup wipe and cleaned my bureau and my bedside table with it. Like any implement that's in front of me. I will use that because it's there and it just makes me get the job done. So,
No, I agree. Our hot water, for some reason, especially in our master bathroom, takes a really long time to get actually hot, like 5 minutes at least. Huh. And so I can start the shower and do a pretty like thorough sweep of clutter or wipe down the bathroom counters while I'm waiting for the shower to get hot. So same thing, just making use of those little pockets of time. I also wanted to mention that our friends Asha and Christine at the Edit Your Life show just did a podcast episode on the subject of whether or not they make their kids keep their rooms clean or clean up their rooms. And I'll just leave that. I'll just put that out there for you all to go listen. I haven't really been there quite yet since my kids have been really little. I've mostly kind of tidied their rooms or helped them tidy their rooms with them. But I am thinking ahead and I am kind of leaning more toward letting kid room space be their own space, short of leaving rotting food in there, company coming, or certain times where, we do a thorough house clean. But I don't know. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. If kids clean their own rooms, if there are rules about it.
My kids mostly clean their own rooms. So we do have a cleaning person who won't stop cleaning their rooms. This is one, which I'm not complaining, but it's like, I keep saying, I don't want you to clean their rooms. They need to do it themselves.
Right.
But when I say clean it, I mean, she kind of just goes in and vacuums and moves stuff around. It's not like she's not organizing their toys or picking up their clothes off the floor. So, that actually kind of works because before she comes, I'll just tell the kids, like, you got to go up and get all the stuff off your floor.
Right.
You got to put stuff away. Everyone's pretty good about that. Jacob, I've just kind of let him do his own thing in his room. He's old enough now. Yeah. And it's a mess. And like, so I'm trying to help him get it back because I know how overwhelming that can be.
Yeah.
To have something get out of control like that. And so I'm kind of helping him get, but it took a really long time to get that bad.
Yeah.
So I kind of stay out of it mostly with, semi-regular reminders that now it's time. Yeah. Everyone run upstairs, grab any dishes that are up there.
Yeah.
Any food wrappers that are up there. They're not even supposed to be eating up there. But every now and then there's like a sleepover or whatever and I bend the rules. And then pick up your toys and bring down your clothes. And so that happens like about weekly. And it's not a big deal. It's not like I'm definitely not hovering in their
inspecting their
doorways.
Yeah.
But I don't have to because they're also not on the same floor as me. So that makes it a little bit easier. But the other thing I get real weird about is fire hazards. Like I'm really I didn't realize that I have such a phobia about that, but they had this used to be like a Thomas the Train, those tables that then when they got too old for that morphed into a Lego table that's completely covered with Legos. And they use it, they make a lot of movies with their friends. Okay. So they use it as a prop. So it gets moved all around. And one day I went to open the door and it was in front of the door.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of like lost my cool a little bit because I was like, you can't have something blocking a door. It's too heavy for you to move it. What if there is a fire? So, I'm a little weird about that stuff. But,
I agree. I think right now, especially with Allegra, who's 8, I'm really wanting her to sort of take personal pride in her space. And she really does. She didn't have her own room till she was 6 when we moved here. She really likes to, like, tinker with her things. And she'll let her room get so messy. But then, kind of unprompted, she'll spend time in there putting things away or organizing. And that's kind of how I was. I would let things get so bad. And then I would sort of enjoy the process of nesting.
Putting it back
together.
That's kind
of how I am now. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to kind of go with that within. But I also think she needs a little bit of training training and tools for how, you know, we, in the preparation for back to school, we went through a closet and, you know, how would you like this organized and what would make it easiest on you in the morning? So I kind of want to be like at an arm's length coach rather than say you've got to have your room clean every week. But I know some families have expectations about room cleanliness, and I don't think it's a bad thing for kids to have expectations. So I don't feel super strongly one way or the other, but I'm leaning toward not forcing my kids to clean their room on a certain schedule.
I'm kind of there too. I will say Clara also in our like main, when you first walk in the house, she's always, since she was a little kid, had this little area that's her crafting area is what she calls it. But a lot of it's just junk, but you know, just where she keeps all her little animal things and Play-Doh and markers. Right. And that requires, I do require her to keep that up both because it makes the house look really gross and messy if that's dirty, but also because she can't find anything. If it's a total disaster, she stops using it. I've seen that she won't go over there anymore because there's just too much. So when I'm cleaning, I will go over there and just, because she saves everything, she's a saver, and I'll just grab all the little pieces of paper she wrote tiny little notes on, and I'll throw away all the markers that are, the caps got left off, like that stuff. But then I'll ask her about once a month to go through and really make it look nice. It doesn't have to be like, there doesn't actually have to be a system. As long as it's clean enough that she can sit down and use it without feeling overwhelmed, I'm happy.
And I think that that's like the more important lesson for kids too, is like knowing that taking care of your space makes it more enjoyable to be in. So however they get to figure that out works, I think.
Yep. Agreed.
I don't know, with living areas, which was the last thing on this part of my outline, I feel like living areas we've kind of touched on mostly, it's mostly picking up and tidying. Do you have any, have you had any like couch upholstery cleaning? Is there any kind of a deep clean that you do? Blinds, anything like that that we've left off?
I mean, nothing that I could really give a tip for. I will say, if you spill wine on your couch, not that I've ever done this, one thing I have found really works is to like pile, and I mean pile, like go get the thing of Morton's and pour salt on it right away. Especially, this works really well with red, which often doesn't come out. So just pour it on there and then give it a couple of minutes and vacuum it up. The salt sucks up a lot of the wine right out of the fabric. And then you can kind of do the next step, which is saturating it with water and blotting and that kind of thing. And I can never remember. I always have to look it up again while the salt is soaking up the wine. I always have to go look up the next step because I can never remember and I'm too afraid to mess it up. So I've kept, you know, a pale gray couch in pretty good shape, even despite some spills with that. I will say we made a terrible purchasing decision when we bought our sofas. We got one of them. It's great. It's a Lazy Boy. It's a nice fabric. And the other one was just like one of the cheap ones that was like a loss leader at the furniture store.
Okay.
And it kind of matched the one that we really wanted. And I don't remember why. It was a long time ago, but, it's got a really loose weave and we're going to have to throw it out because it's also the one the dog sleeps on. She's not allowed on the nice couch. Right. She just sleeps on the crap couch. And it is like, it is basically a dog hair couch now. And there's no way to get, no amount of vacuuming gets that out.
Because it just like goes in.
It goes in. It becomes one with the couch. So that's become a problem. I won't make that mistake again.
Couches are serious purchases. We just got lucky. And we were really overdue for a new couch and got lucky with a very nice hand-me-down when my parents moved that didn't have a lot of wear on it. So it kind of bought us several years, I think. Because that's a whole nother podcast episode.
You know, and I tried, like, when my kids were little, I tried to do slip covers, and that just never worked because then the slip cover would get gross. Then you have to take it off, wash it, and then if it shrinks, you're screwed. And like, you try to get it back on, and you have to wrestle with it.
That's
why
our old one was at it, because we had washed the slip covers too many times. The zippers were all busted, and it was like basically draped over it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to save some time for talking about hiring help when it comes to cleaning. But before we go there, just a few little housekeeping things.
We're doing housekeeping in the middle of an episode. Housekeeping. Oh.
It's a play within a play.
Yeah.
So hopefully, listeners, you saw either on Facebook or by email that we are doing our first listener survey. And so we've already gotten over 100 responses without trying very hard, without bribing any of you or begging too much, which is really, really nice because it does take,
a couple
of minutes. It's 15 very short questions, multiple choice, unless you feel like adding more, you can. But it's click through very quickly. It'll be on our website at themomhour.com if you have not filled it out. And we are we're really looking to make this show better, to continue to do what we love to do, but also grow it. And so this makes a huge difference. And I wanted to say, even if you are a brand new listener, or if you've only listened a few times, I think some of the first responses that come in are from those of you who already have given us great feedback and right. already listen every week. And that's great. We're so glad you filled out the survey. But I'd also love to, you know, hear from people who just found us or have only listened to a few shows or pop in now and then, because, you know, we don't want to skew our results. So we'll use right. those answers to make all kinds of decisions, you know, how we grow the show. So yeah. please fill it out. I will put a link in the show notes for this episode 64, and it'll also just be really obvious on our website at themomhour.com. And I think I'll leave it open through probably Labor Day through the first weekend in September. So I have a couple weeks to fill that out, and that would be great.
Yeah.
We have another bonus interview episode coming up later this week. And it is about talking to little kids and big kids about violence in the news and scary stuff happening in the world, which is really timely and really important. And it was a really good conversation. So that was me interviewing Dr. Jennifer Fried. So that will be out later this week. And so if you haven't listened to a bonus interview yet, might be a fun one to try. No, it's not really very fun, but it was a very good conversation. So
yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to set this up by talking about a few years ago when you wrote a blog post and mentioned offhand that you had part-time cleaning help. And at yes. the time, do you remember this? Your
oh,
blog
yeah.
was then called The Happiest Mom.
It was my first. It was my first controversy. Yes, it may have been like our last controversy. It was kind of crazy how it blew up.
Except remember the one where you wrote where you get like a lot of sleep?
Oh yeah, that one too.
That's another story that involves yeah. a troll. No, but it was kind of an offhand mention, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Which you then followed up by really writing a couple of detailed posts about yeah. hiring help.
Well, what happened was I offhandedly mentioned it, and then a longtime reader who had always left really positive comments was basically just like, "Oh, well, now that I know that about you, it changes the way I think about you. Like, I don't feel like I can relate." And I really thought about that. I mean, I really took it to heart. And she wasn't nasty about it or anything, but she was just being very honest. And then I wrote a follow-up post saying, here's what it really looks like to have a cleaning right. service. It doesn't mean I'm not cleaning. It doesn't right. mean I'm wealthy. You know, I mean, it's a privilege, obviously, but it's in within reach for a lot more people than may think so. And anyway, so it was kind of like clearing up the misconceptions, and that's when it went crazy.
Yes. Yes. And that is the post that I'll link to. It's called yeah. The Help, The Truth About Hiring a Cleaning Service. And in that post, you did a really good job of sort of unpacking some of those, you know, I don't know if you want to call them misconceptions or, you know, perceptions about what it means yeah. to hire help. But maybe do you want to kind of retell the story of the first
sure.
time? Because in that post, you tell the story of, I think you were pregnant with your fourth kid.
Yeah,
and
I was pregnant.
It was more of a business
four.
Decision for
it
you.
It was a business decision. I was building my writing business. We did not have a lot of money at all. And I decided it was like at the point where I really couldn't do the things I felt I needed to do to have a functional house and take good care of my kids and cook dinner at night, which was more important to me, and build my business. And so basically, you know, I was splitting my hourly money with the cleaner. She may have been coming out ahead, honestly, at that point. But I knew she could do more in 3 hours than I, with kids crawling all over me, could probably do in a whole day. Mm-hmm. I could use that time to then make decisions and get stuff done within my business that would help me grow it to where I could earn more, you know?
Right.
And so it just felt, and also I was hugely pregnant and like it just really, and my husband was working out of town and I just really needed some help. So that was the first time I did it. And then, you know, we moved and for a while I didn't have help, and then I kind of got in a really busy phase again and got some help again. And then, you know, we've kind of gone in and out of it over the years. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you know, it doesn't change my life that much day to day. I still scrub toilets. Right now we have a cleaning person who comes, you know, maybe 4 hours every other week.
Okay.
So the stuff that she's doing often are things that I wouldn't do if it was left to me
right
now. It's just, I mean, yeah, she scrubs the toilets while she's here, but I scrub them 17 times in between. Like it's all stuff needs to get maintained. Things need to happen. She's dusting things, you know, doing things like dusting ceiling fan blades more than I would. So I love the way the house looks. It feels great. I know like at the end of the day that she's there, I usually go run errands. When I come back, I feel like I have come into this totally reset space that's more pleasant to be in. And then I can kind of focus on the stuff I want to do with the kids or the stuff I want to do around the house that I find more satisfying. But one thing I thought was really interesting was, you know, and you've kind of listed in our little outline, and I love that you put it all in caps because this is exactly how it came off.
It was a copy paste job, but yes.
Yeah. But it was like, you know, the idea that running a household isn't that hard. You should be able to do it yourself. I agree. Running a household is simple work that goes back to the beginning of time. Everyone's done it. Anybody can do it. I mean, yes, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Just because something is doable doesn't mean it's easy. And it's also a time benefit. You know, it's like a time cost kind of thing. Yeah. I also don't bake my own bread. I could. Right. It's not that hard. But nobody gives me crap for buying bread at the grocery store.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just thought that was always a very interesting. That's one of those, I feel like, sanctum mommy responses.
Yeah. Well, the other really hot button one too was that you addressed was that hiring household help is classist and unethical. And I loved your response about the way you found the person who cleaned your house and the discussion of fair wages and what that looks like in your community. Yeah. And that it does not have to be an unethical.
The people that are running house cleaning businesses around here are charging very fair hourly wages that are, you know, livable for sure. Mm-hmm. One woman who did it for me for a few years, not the one who's I've got now, but a few years ago, she was studying for her master's degree. So she's much more highly educated than me and just wanted something simple she could do, you know, that she didn't have to think very hard, that she didn't have to take the work home with her, make a little money to pay for her degree and not take up so much time that, you know, so it was flexible. She could go to class and study. Mm-hmm. So for her, it was perfect. I thought it was interesting. We heard from people in other countries, especially I want to say some Latin American countries, where they were saying that in their cultures, it's actually a responsibility. It's an obligation. Mm-hmm. If you are middle class, you hire people to help you because that gives other people work, which I thought was an interesting.
Right.
You know,
and you made a good point too, and I'm sure this differs by region, but about the difference between having an individual, you know, a sole proprietor relationship with your cleaning person versus a cleaning service. And I can speak to that personally. So right now we have, it's one day every 4 weeks. So they come every fourth Wednesday. And it is only 4 hours, but it's two or three people. So it's a full day.
Yeah.
But it is once a month or once every 4 weeks. It is a cleaning service. And I still am looking for a more individual one-on-one relationship with a person or a couple of people in business together. I don't love the feel of a large cleaning service. I'm sure there are some out there that do a really good job, but for a lot of reasons, it doesn't feel as personal. It does feel slightly uncomfortable from a, I don't know. I'm just not crazy about it.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's a couple people
we found here that worked. And the huge part for me that was useful is that they could get it all done, basically a day's worth of work, since I only have them once a month, in like 3 to 4 hours, because they bring, you know, two or three people. When back in Arizona, we had much more of a one-on-one relationship with a woman who did, she was once a month, but it was the better part of a day, but I just liked it better. So I don't know that, again, it really differs by region, but I have always felt much more comfortable, with sort of a sole proprietor type of situation.
Yeah. And I will say, like, a couple people weighed in on the comments and said, you know, to the other side of that, if they go with a service that's employing people, it's more likely that they're getting benefits and all that. And that makes a lot of sense to me, except I've just also read that a lot of the big services are terrible to their employees.
Yep.
So I guess it's kind of like, do your homework. In our area, we actually don't have a lot of the big, like Mary, I don't even know if we have a Mary Maids. Like, we don't have a lot of those big ones. So it tends to be more like it's a service, but it's local or regional. It's run by someone in the community. Mm-hmm. I have used those on and off, and it tends to be the same people who come every time. It's not like this kind of nameless, faceless group of strangers every time.
Right. Right.
I kind of just, it's like your miles may vary on that. But I've also had the best luck just asking around.
Yeah.
You know, word of mouth has really worked.
I agree. I think asking around, and I think if it's the first time that you are hiring a cleaning service, it can be really, it's kind of fraught with some insecurities I don't know. I have felt that, like, insecure, like I can't do it all myself, or they're going to think my house is gross, or I'm not going to like the way they do things. Like, it's sort of, for some reason, fraught with more emotion than I'm going to hire someone to mow my lawn or you know, clean out my gutters. It's just for some reason our homes are, you know, really personal. So
right.
I guess just knowing that that's normal and that it's a personal decision and that there are ways to go about it that are fair and economical and you may love it. I've also gone through times where actually it's quite stressful for me to get ready to have the cleaners come mm-hmm. every 4 weeks in terms of, you know, picking up toys because I don't right. like to, I don't want them to pick up toys. I want them to clean the floors. That's why that's right, what exactly. they do really well. But we've had many school mornings over the last year where I was just tearing around and I'm like, is this worth it? And it was because they were doing things like my stovetop and some, yes. you know, some things yeah. that I just wasn't getting to. But still, it just did feel like, wait, this is supposed to be really helping me. And it kind of felt like I was tearing around cleaning for the cleaner. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that, and I think it's so funny when people make fun of people for cleaning before the cleaner comes. But to me, it's an opportunity to get to yes. stuff. Not like deep stuff, but just stuff right. that needs to get done anyway, like yep. picking up the clutter so they can wipe down the table or,
exactly.
you know, yep. switching out the tablecloth. Like I'll just kind of take off the dirty one and like leave the nice one folded yep. up so they know that's there, that's coming next, but they can then clean the table. Just stuff like that that needs to happen anyway. It's a nice motivator. And right. I'm the same, like if there are dishes, you know, pots and pans that have been lingering in the sink, I don't want them doing the dishes because I can do the dishes and right. I don't even mind doing the dishes. So
right.
again, like I want to get that stuff clean slate so that they can come in and do the stuff that like I really want them to do. Yep. So, but it does take a while to get in that swing of things. And there's been times that they come and I just didn't get to that stuff and they don't care.
They don't.
They've seen everything, you know, they're yes. understanding. And
yes.
I'll say, you know, I'm sorry. Like sometimes I'll work like right alongside them. So sometimes yeah. Our cleaner will come and I'll say, could you just start upstairs? I'm going to go ahead and get the kitchen ready for yep. you. And she's there and I'm there and we're kind of yep. passing yep. each other, getting stuff done, but who cares? Stuff's getting done. It works.
Yep. I've done that too. And I just want to say too, if it's overwhelmed newer moms too, it's an adjustment figuring out how to run a household, and keep up with work and whatever. So if it is the first time, it doesn't have to be like anything. It doesn't have to be a commitment forever. There right. are companies and people who will do a one-time
yep.
cleaning, or you could do quarterly. So there's all kinds of ways to make it. It's not like you have a cleaning service or you don't. Like you and I right. have said, there's you go through phases. So
I do want to address quickly the budget money side yes. of it, because that was another huge sticking point. People saying, you know, anything from, well, I don't have that in my budget, and that's only for people who, you know, must be really well off and affluent. And I've already kind of made this point that when we started yeah. that I was not making very much money. But I think it's one of those things where if it's important to you and it's like one of those things where you're bickering with your husband all the time about who's going to do what, and you're stressed out because your house is a mess. And I will say for us, it's about the cost of our cable bill.
Mm-hmm.
So most people have cable. Most people have right. a smartphone with a high right. monthly right. cost. Most people, I mean, we're kind of at a point in American middle-class society where most people have a lot of really expensive crap going on all the time, even if we don't really want to admit it to ourselves. So it's it's like, how important is it to you? If it's not a priority, that's
right.
fine.
Right.
But that doesn't mean like people who for whom that's not a priority are better than people for yeah. whom would just really like to have a clean house. I mean, it's very valid. So
agreed.
I always said that very interesting. Like one meal out, if we sacrifice one nice meal out, that pretty much pays mm-hmm. our cleaner for the month. So, yep. you know.
Nope. I agree. And, you know, it's just – it's never anybody's place to judge what other people value enough to spend money on, really.
Right, exactly.
But for some reason it can – feel that way, and especially if you're going
spirals.
There for the first time. So,
yep.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap up with our regular segment, which is what is happening in your house this week? Cause I have a big one. I am sitting here recording for the first time without needing a babysitter because Woo-hoo! All three of my kids are in school today. It's the first day of school for everybody. And for Allegra and Reed, it's the first day at a new school. And for Violet, it's her first day ever of any
wow.
kind of school.
And you sent me the cutest picture this morning. It was like, you know, Lord help yeah. her teacher.
I know. She was so ready. She's going to do 3 half days a week. So I will have 3 half days where just not having to get a sitter. We've had a great sitter, amazing sitter for the last 2 years who has a college schedule, but she's always been free a few during the weekdays. That's a really hard time to find childcare if you don't have full-time right. childcare is during the day. But I've always needed her for anything from like a doctor's appointment to recording the podcast to, you know, so just having, knowing those 3 days are there, and she's just really ready. So, it's really my first day. It's my first day with all of my kids in some kind of
weird
school.
Feeling, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And we jump right into recording. And you have fun news.
I do. I posted this on our Facebook page, page. So people may have already seen this, but, very unexpectedly, I am going to be joining the local radio station as the morning co-host of the morning show. So I did this as a guest thing over the summer. And I didn't know this at the time, but I guess they were kind of like auditioning people for the role full time. And they asked me if I would do it. And it's going to be a huge change for us. I think it's going to be really interesting talking about like the difference. You know, this is going to be my plunge back into being a working mom who leaves the house.
Right.
For a set number of hours every day. Right. They are very flexible about like if there's a snow day, I can record from home, but they don't want me doing that all the time. I'm going to need to be there most of the time.
Yeah. How is it? It's close, right?
It's close. Right, it's like a 6-7 minute drive. I'm going to be going back into a place where there's other people working. I will have to wear pants and a bra, and I'm going to be there from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m.
Oh,
or at least I'll be on air. I may be able to do the first like half hour from home, which will help out a lot with like kind of getting the bigger kids up and stuff. But so this is going to be huge because I have not had to get up and get out the door and get dressed at any given time. I mean, I've been the mom doing the school drop off at 8:20 with no bra and then going back home and like putting myself together. But I think it's going to actually be really good for me. I think the structure will be good. I think, you know, forcing me to kind of get my day starting earlier because I am that rebel and I've kind of realized I'll never do it for myself. Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is, you know, I really would like to have it be where the school day is when I'm doing the majority of the work. And if I'm really not even getting dressed until, you know, 10, it's kind of hard to really get all the things in that I want to get done. So, and the week that I did it over the summer, I actually have to say it was not that hard to get up early. I didn't mind it. And I really loved leaving that studio at 9 and being like, wow, a big part of my day is already behind me. And look, it's 9:00. Like I can go to breakfast or, you know, go home and read for a little bit or whatever. Like I didn't feel like this pressure to start my day because my day had already started. Now it was like break time. And morning feels like a really good time for that. So it's very exciting. It's going to be like a big change for us. The kids are excited too.
I mean, I picture in a small town, like the morning show is what people listen to, like on their way to work and
stuff,
right?
This is what people listen to driving carpool, dropping their kids off at school and going to work. This is like that. It's the mom station. So yeah.
That is really great. Well, obviously I want an update. You don't start for a couple more weeks, right?
No, we start the day. Actually, I'll start on the same day the kids go back to school. So September 6th.
And I'm very curious if you will go to bed early because I really like how we're on the same – we're 3 hours apart, we're always like sitting down to watch TV at the same time.
I think I'm going to have to because I don't think I'm going to be able to keep my – the week that I did it before, I mean, I was tired by
– Yeah, I would think so.
Not super
early.
You're
really going to cramp our like texting 10. Before bed relationship.
Well, I think I could still stay up to like 10.
But that's 7 my time. So I'm like putting kids to bed.
We're
so
never
going to
talk again,
usually you and I
Sarah.
Are texting at like 8:30 my time, 11:30.
Yeah, that I don't think that's going to happen as much. Maybe on the weekends.
I'll take one for the team so that you could be a radio DJ. I really hope you get a billboard though. I think I actually might. I really want you to get a billboard. Can you put in a request for a billboard?
This might actually be a thing here, so we'll see.
That's awesome. Okay, everybody. Well, this was a nice long episode and everything we talked about in it will be at themomhour.com. Look for episode 64. In particular, when we talked about hiring cleaning service, I'd love for people to read the article that you wrote, Megan, and I will link to because it just does a really good job of unpacking some of the yucky comments we got and the uncomfortableness. And it was a great conversation. So
yeah.
I'd love people to go check that out and read it. And as always, if you haven't left us an iTunes review, we would love for you to do that as well. That's all I got.
Yep. And we actually asked for so much input this episode. So do leave us a comment.
MomHour.com
episode 64.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
See you next time.